Today is a very different day, and I guess it's you and me. And Robert Knight has just come in. Robert, will be bringing us headlines in a little while.
Actually, I would if we weren't under lockdown. The newsroom has been made inaccessible to...
Well, the station supposedly opens today, I think at 9 a.m.
Well, the air...
It's been for the weekend.
The air is open now.
Well, there have been extremely, to say the least, grim developments over the weekend. Which I guess, Jim, is why you're sitting here and not Bernard White, the longtime host of Wake Up Call, the program that I have co-hosted with him for the last 6 years. As I understand them and have experienced the developments, and Robert, you can join in, on Friday night around 10:30, late in the evening, Pacifica Management came into the station. Bessie Wash, along with locksmiths, installed Utrice Lead, the talkback host, afternoon host, as the general manager. Interim general manager, replacing Valerie Van Isler. They proceeded to change all the locks in the station. I called in right around midnight, and I spoke to Sydney Smith, operations director. He asked if I could come in. He turned to Utrice, who was standing next to him, and she said, no, I couldn't come in. It was the first time in 16 years that I'd been here that I was told I couldn't come in to WBAI. And then the events continued.
People were on the air and scheduled to be on the air, however, of course, had no problem.
And around 1:50 in the morning, Utrice Lead came on the air and announced she was delighted to announce that she'd become the interim station manager of WBAI, that there was no coup, that there were no SWAT teams, that it was not tense, and that programming would continue as usual. Well, the next day, to say the least, there were hundreds of people outside saying that a Christmas coup had taken place. And if it wasn't a coup, then what is coming in under cloak of darkness, changing all the locks, escorting a WBAI long-timer here out of the station, someone who is here late at night, and then coming on the station at 1:50 in the morning to announce the change. Hours later, at about 7:15 in the morning, Bernard White, at home in Brooklyn, had ringing at his door, opened the door, and there was a messenger standing there with a package for him to open. In it, it said that he was terminated, and if he came on the premises, that it would be considered trespassing, that his possessions would be shipped to him. He couldn't hold that paper. That was taken away, and they tried to give him some checks, which he wouldn't take. Later, when he went downstairs, they were under the door of his building. About a half an hour later, Sharan Harper, uptown in Harlem, gets a knock at her door, and the same thing happens. They give her a package. She opens it. It says that Sharan Harper, the union steward, UE, United Electrical here at WBAI, producer of Wake Up Call full-time, was fired. And it said that if she came on the premises, it would be considered trespassing and her possessions would be shipped to her. She was not allowed to keep that piece of paper. You know, she would not accept the checks, and they put them under her door. At that point, people started to learn what was going on, and by noon, there were hundreds of people outside WBAI. There was a selective lockout. Some producers were allowed in. Most were not. On Saturday, it was only producers who were on the air that were allowed in. Security downstairs, new security called. I was downstairs talking to people. I saw Utrice Lead. I asked if I could come in again. She wouldn't let me in. Then all a group of producers who were outside, among them Peter Boshin, tried to come in because he had to deliver his program for Christmas, which was yesterday, and they told him he would be arrested if he didn't leave. We all tried to come in, and security would not let us come in. We said, this is a lockout if you're not letting us come in and work. And the police were called in, and they physically pushed us out and threatened us with arrest. There was a rally. A number of people spoke at the rally as we continued to be locked out. Bernard White was there. This morning, or I should say yesterday, when the producer of Democracy Now!, Terry Allen, tried to come in, she did make it upstairs. Someone got security to take her out, and then Eutrice Lead came by. She said that, you know, we had plans for today's show. We're going to be speaking with Turkish prisoners who have taken over the prison in Turkey, risking their lives to speak, and she had promised she would call them yesterday, and has just come to New York and didn't have long-distance service or anything, and she needed to make some calls, but Eutrice said she would not be allowed to. She had to leave the station immediately, that she had not put in with Pacifica for overtime to be here. I wonder how many people here had put in for overtime that were here over the weekend. We did not know this was taking place. This morning when I came in, very distressed people downstairs. We were told there would be no list today, but there was.
Up until the building is officially open.
The building's officially open now, but they said the list for BAI would continue, and they said that there's outside security upstairs. They have the list, and they said they're getting that updated, and they made very clear to me that there's been a court order taken out on Bernard White. And Valerie Van Nistler, not sure if Sharon Harper as well, though all of them are forbidden for coming in, and if Bernard White shows up, he will be summarily arrested. It has never been explained to Bernard or Sharon why it is that they were fired. No explanations have been offered. Bernard White, who I've worked with for 6 years directly on Wake Up Call, of course, he's been here for much longer. He's been here for 20 years. I know there's a term, Robert, in the corporate world, which is like clean out your desk. He didn't even get that courtesy. A letter said that his possessions would be shipped to him. What is it that Bernard did exactly? What is it that Sharon Harper did? Is it she's a union steward?
Well, the underpinnings of Wake Up Call.
This is, right. And
she's
now
chief
it's...
chief producer. She makes guests and things happen.
And so now it's just me and you, Robert.
I'll just point out that I'm here as well.
You don't wish to count the elevator boy?
I'm sorry? Thank you, Robert. Fireside Theater.
I said that there would be no format changes by the interim station manager, and that this would herald a new regime of respect at WBAI. And I'm wondering if that dimension of respect will allow the interim manager to remove this banning on the producer and former program director, 4 years of possessions locked up, and allow that level of dignity to exist.
When David Rothenberg, longtime producer here, Saturday morning went off the air at 10:30, Janice with him crying. She was told to leave the premises by Eutrice immediately after the program. When David Rothenberg came off the air, he went to Bessie Walsh, who was here over the weekend, the executive director of Pacifica, and asked, since he had just learned when he was on the air about Bernard being fired, asked why Bernard was fired. David Rothenberg said, Bessie Walsh replied to him, that's Eutrice's call. But, you know, I think the bigger issue here, the bigger issue is not what's going on here at the station.
That's a very important point you're about to make.
Okay.
I'd just like to add one other follow-up on the issue of whether or not there are format changes. The admission regime and the listing and excluding of people and the selective admission only to the nanosecond at program start and program end is for those who are more involved in radio production than simply coming in and talking and leaving. There is pre-production that happens. There's a tremendous amount of work. You know this, Jim. For every minute of air, there's an iceberg of preparation underneath, and people do need access at times prior to the airtime.
I would like to talk for a couple of minutes.
Let me finish the story. And
cool.
I talked to AFTRA. I'm an AFTRA, the union, and they said, no, this is a straightforward selective lockout because, of course, to be a producer is not not just to be on the air for every minute of air time. We are preparing for, to say the least, a very long time. Well, and being a producer is both on and off the air.
Well, the line that we used in 77 was, if you do not have access to the air and if you do not have access to the editing tools, then you do not have the access to the tools of your trade. And so in 77, the situation there was clearly a lockout. A lot of people call it a strike. That was clearly a lockout. This is...
Well, this is a clearly a selective lockout.
My tools are in the newsroom. It's locked. I can't get to my tools.
Yeah. Now, well, my understanding now, because I had a very different experience, and I came in Saturday night maybe 3 hours before... 3 hours into this whole affair. And when I came in, there were about, I'd say, 20, 25 demonstrators in the lobby of the building. They were not kept outside. I thought the building people were rather nice about the whole thing at that point. And there was indeed a list. And I was on it. And although it was 3 hours before my program, I had no problem getting in and no problem staying around. The security was our operations director, Sydney Smith, who has been here some 22 years.
But now there's outside security here.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Before that was implanted, Jim.
I see. Okay. Well, that's why I'm being very specific about my date and time. I just want all I can speak to, of course, is my experience. You've interviewed people and spoken with others,
right.
And so I have a broader perspective. But I did want to add, because I have a different perspective,
right,
and a different spin, perhaps, on the whole issue.
Well,
and,
the bigger
and of course, I'm very confused by the entire issue of. Of us all being here together. So, well, let's say for me, it's very unexpected.
Well, it was surprising for us that you were here, Jeff.
I've no doubt of that.
But I want to say that what happened this weekend, what many are calling the Christmas coup of December 2000, that took place on Friday night, follows weeks of protest outside of Epstein, Becker, and Green.
Yeah.
And that's the law firm, which is a hardball management side anti-labor law firm that is one of the biggest in the country, that one of the Pacifica board members is a part of, John Murdoch. And protesters have been there on almost a weekly basis talking about the larger issue of what is happening at WBAI. And this has to be put into a context. It's what Bernard was fighting and raising issues about and discussing on the air. It's what so many people are deeply concerned about. And I can see listeners are beginning to call in, and we do hope to take your calls. Our number is 212-209-2900. I'm sure you know that. Last year, in 1999, the general manager of the first Pacifica station, KPFA, was ousted, was let go. This came after she had protested. Oh, boy, Errol's here. This came after she protested the change in the national board bylaws, which were extremely controversial, happened very swiftly. And what those changes allowed for was that board members no longer had to come from the communities of the Pacifica stations. They had been selected by the local advisory boards, but the board would become a self-selecting board. She was let go. They were moving into their 50th anniversary, the first Pacifica station, KPFA, all set to go with all sorts of groupings of luminaries that were supporting the station. And to say the least, it undercut everything and threw everything into turmoil. Tremendous outcry. Ultimately, the station was shut down. Staff were arrested, and 15,000 people marched in the streets of Berkeley. There was that kind of community response. And ultimately,
the
staff and community
off the air, mid-sentence.
Right, of KPFA won, and they had their station reopened, although the general manager was not returned. It was tremendously, to say the least, destabilizing, but the community fought back at that time. In the midst of that struggle, another board member named Michael Palmer from Houston, Texas, at least as he told me, mistakenly sent an email that he meant to send to Mary Frances Berry, the chair of the board, to the leading media democracy activist in Berkeley. And that email said, let's continue our discussions of the sale of KPFA and possibly of WBAI. And that's also what ignited everything in Berkeley area and also caused great tremors here in WBAI. So that's what went on
and
last
that's been
year.
An issue that's been knocking around Pacifica
right.
since the 70s.
But he put it in writing. And
yeah,
he was a current board member.
That's happened before
and
in
now,
my history.
And now he's the treasurer of the Pacifica board.
Uh-huh.
And so then this year came around, and to our great surprise here at WBAI about a month ago, the executive director of Pacifica came in and told Valerie Van Isler, our general manager, that she was being removed. She should either take a job that had previously not existed in Washington or she would be terminated. Now, this followed our most successful fall fundraising drive in history. We raised over $900,000 in pledges. We had been in the red about $200,000. We wiped that clean, and we had a $70,000 surplus. We thought this was a time of celebration, to move forward, to build, to thrive, not just to make it. And it was then that the word came down that Valerie was going to lose her job, was being fired if she wouldn't accept this job that she said she would not accept in Washington, a new job that was being created. But last year, one last thing to give context to all this, after Pacifica shut down KPFA, although I don't like to say Pacifica because we are Pacifica,
yes.
And we must fight to strengthen Pacifica. We are all that legacy that was begun 51 years ago by Lou Hill, a man who was a deep part of the anti-war movement, went to prison because of his anti-war activism, refused to fight in World War II, came out of prison and said, there's got to be a media outlet that is not run by corporations who profit from war and build a drumbeat for war. There's got to be a media outlet that is run by journalists and artists, not as, George Gerbner of University of Pennsylvania says, not by corporations with nothing to tell and everything to sell. And that is the Pacifica that was born 51 years ago. And that is the Pacifica that we are all fighting to continue, and that Bernard was in the finest tradition of. And I'm not going to refer to him in the past tense. We're not doing a eulogy like we had to do for Samori when he died 2 years ago. Bernard has been a producer here for 20 years, deeply rooted in the community, has given his passion, his whole entire self over to WBAI. Most recently program director, but continues to be the morning show host, the beloved morning show host of Wake Up Call. And I hope that will continue. I hope that everything that has happened will be rescinded, because I think it's a terrible mistake. And I think that hopefully that will become very, very clear. But it's up to all of us to find the way. I know there's going to be a meeting on Wednesday night at 101 6th Avenue, just above Canal. That's at 32B, 32J. There was a meeting a couple weeks ago, and hundreds of people attended that meeting. A number of people will be speaking. And, of course, we're speaking on the air because that has been the tradition. Utrice was doing it last week and the week before, and we move forward with that, presenting our views of what is happening. But it is the concern that it is a change in the board that is changing the direction of Pacifica, that we think is the latest manifestation of which is moving in on WBAI and picking off our station manager, Valerie Van Isler. And the fear was if they took out her, they would move in and go further. And now Bernard White has been summarily fired. Sharon Harper has been summarily fired. And now we are told there is a court order out against Bernard. If he dares even come near the premises, he will be arrested.
Now this. Normally, I would be presenting the news at this moment. My name is Robert Knight. I am locked out of the newsroom. I did manage to get through to Utrice Lead and spoke with her briefly on Saturday, and was told by her, she asked for my home address. And I said, am I fired too? She said, no, no, no. But what is your address? And I said, well, am I allowed into the station? And she said, yes, yes. And She said, at the time that you're scheduled to be on the air, you will be permitted in the station. Apparently, they neglected to include my name on the list this morning. We have this new memorandum. I take the manager, the interim manager, at her word. But there is this new memorandum in regard to access field that you're speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
We ask your cooperation.
When you say new, dated when?
It's undated and unsigned, but on WBAI.
Oh, that's the one I saw in the drawer when I came in this morning.
Yes, it says, dear visitors and workers, security concerns compel us to regulate access to the station at this time. We assure you share these concerns and ask your cooperation with the procedures currently and temporarily in place. Please allow for the minor inconvenience of having to be let in and for having to schedule when you come to WBAI. After 6 p.m., admittance will be permitted only if your name appears on a WBAI schedule list. This is our station, whoever us may be, and these measures are meant to preserve what we have. Our desire is to return to what we have been accustomed to all these years, free and easy access to our beloved WBAI. Your cooperation is appreciated. I will relent the floor only after noting that once again, the specificity of prior restraint with admissions and the micro-scheduling of access precludes the pre-production that is an essential part of the unique and innovative radio that is WBAI,
okay.
And it is a de facto format change.
Okay,
no, one last thing, which is one more memo,
okay,
just to read,
which is what we've all been reading today.
Date December 22nd, 2000, to staff from Eutrice Lead, interim station manager, and signed by her regarding personnel. Please be advised that the following individuals, Valerie Van Isler, Bernard White, and Sharon Harper, are no longer staff at WBAI and are no longer authorized to enter the WBAI premises. Any permitting or facilitating their entry into the premises will be subjected to disciplinary action. We all must work together if we intend to provide a productive and conducive work environment essential to the mission of the station. And, folks, we're going to take calls. 212-209-2900, Jim.
Okay. Well, I have a few things to say because I am, I would say, a dissenter from much of the feeling that's in here is that I don't feel that we are necessarily in as dire a situation as some people may currently feel. And a lot of that probably has to do with historical view of the various crises we've had over the year. I think one thing that we really need to point out is that there are huge differences between certainly what's going on here now and what went on some 23 years ago in 77. And also, and this will turn into a question for you, large differences between the management style of what occurred at KPFA and what is happening here right now, where somebody who's been working here for a number of years and is a known entity has been brought in as the interim station manager.
No,
and the fact that
KPFA, Jim Bennett is there, a long-time operations director. He was made general manager.
Ah, okay, thank
Same
you.
Same thing.
But here's the difference. Right now, we're all on the air. That's a big difference.
For a period of time, they were also. But, Errol, you've just come into the station, and I don't want to put pressure on you because, Errol, as people know, at the Patrick Dorismond funeral that he was covering for WBAI, was attacked by police, and he has yet to fully return to work, suffered serious heart damage. Errol Maitland, producer at WBAI, technical director of Democracy Now!, and... your thoughts this
morning.
Try again.
Okay.
There we are.
All right. Well, good morning, Amy. Good morning, Robert. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, sir.
It is good to see you.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of wise people around this table, a lot of wise counsel. My elder is here, and I just wanted to pay my respects. And with your permission, sir, may I?
May speak truthfully as you always do.
Thank you. One moonlight One moonlight night, a fox was prowling about a farmer's hen coop, and saw an hen roosting high up beyond his reach. Good news," he cried. "Why, what is that?" said the hen. "King Lion has declared a universal truce. No beast may hurt a bird henceforth, but shall dwell together in brotherly friendship." "Why, this is good news," said the hen. "And there I see someone coming, with whom we can share the good tidings." And so saying, she craned her neck forward and looked afar off. "What is it you see?" said the fox. "It is only my master's dog that is coming towards us." "What's gone so soon?" she continued, as the fox began to turn away. "Will you not stop and congratulate the dog on the reign of universal peace?" "I would gladly do so," said the fox, "but I fear he may not have heard of King Lion's decree." And I just want to start off my morning with those words because, as I said last Saturday when I showed up downstairs, that I am not one who has all the elocutions. I came from a part of the country where education was scarce, and I wasn't one who cared for governmental regimentation, including public schools. So I spent more time out of the classroom. So I spent more time out of the classroom than I did in. So sorry if my thoughts doesn't come across as well as they should. That's why I am a producer of programs here at WBAI and not one of the on-air personality. I came here as an unpaid staff. I continue to function as an unpaid staff. And being an unpaid staff for me means that I was drafted, brought in, and I agreed to lend my skills to serve the community. And that community...
Who drafted you, Errol?
That community is wide-ranging. It is those people who, for the last 40-odd years, have strived for truth and democracy here within Pacifica, and at WBAI.
I'd like to just, you read that fabulous fable. I'd just like to, in the spirit of that, recollect the story of the Barnyard Rebellion, in which when the animals took over the farm, they decided to do something nice for the Uber boss. And so let's serve the owner some bacon and eggs, said the chicken to the pig.
Okay, my turn.
Jim, by the way, I guess this really adds to your fine tradition and may well be your greatest science fiction show yet.
Right. Okay, my turn now. Okay, Cat and Mouse in Partnership, The Brothers Grimm. Everybody know it? Of course you do, because you probably heard a variant on it. Okay, Cat and Mouse, I don't remember the names, but they get married. And they have a bucket of lard. And one night, the cat disappears, and the mouse says, "Gee, where have you gone to?" And the cat says, "Oh, I went to a christening." "And what was the name of the baby?" And the cat says, "Oh, just started." Of course, the mouse goes and sees that the bucket of lard, which they were going to keep for their old age, has been just started being eaten. The next baby, of course, I'll make it shorter, is called... You've got to do a fable next, Amy. The next baby is called Halfway Done. The third baby is called Scratched the Bottom. And the mouse finally says, "I know what's going on now. You've been eating our lard. You've been doing everything that we want." So the cat ate the mouse. And the moral of the story is, and that's the way of the world.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM. I'm Amy Goodman here with Errol Maitland, Robert Knight. Jim Freund also joins us. We have a board full of calls, and we are attempting to conduct wake-up call as usual, but Bernard White, the mainstay of the program, was fired on Saturday morning, 7:15, was delivered a letter that said that he was fired, that he was not to come onto the premises, or he would be considered a trespasser. Now a court order has been taken out against him. And Sharon Harper, the producer of Wake Up Call, also UE Stewart here at WBAI, very unclear why either of them was fired. No reasons have been given. Now, as I was talking about the board, the Pacifica board, which has been the greatest concern to so many of us, why there have been protests outside of Epstein, Becker, and Green, the law firm of John Murdoch, one of the board members. I went on to talk about Michael Palmer, another board member who had sent off the email talking about the sale of WBAI and KPFA that further sparked the furor at KPFA last year that led to the closing of the station and more than 10,000 people marching in the street. Also on the board, now that it is self-selecting, Bertram Lee, who buys and sells radio stations. This is of grave concern to a lot of people. Where are the people with roots in the community? There is a small dissident group on the board of community activists, but they are outnumbered and not the ones in control. And what people are saying is that at this independent, unique media institution, that we must be tied to the community. If not, this is the kind of thing we fear would take place.
Okay. Also, you're all mentioning what you're doing here. I think I should really mention what I'm doing here because it's really rather interesting, which is that on Saturday evening, I spoke to the new interim station manager, Eutrice Lead, who asked me if I would be interested in doing the program this morning from 7 till 8 a.m. and discuss old WBAI issues and war stories to help give a perspective what was going on. And my understanding was that she and I would be here together. I spoke to her again last night, confirmed this, and she said that she would be here from 6 till 9, and that from 8 till 9, she would be discussing the current situation on the air. So here I am at from 6 to 7, she said we would play music. So I played music from 6 to 7 and announced that I would be discussing these war stories. At 7 a.m., as per usual schedule, I expected Eutrice to be here, but Amy Goodman came in for a wake-up call. I've certainly had no instructions.
And I, as per my special responsibilities in the world,
intervene. And also,
but just reporting for work.
And also, I am aware. There is whatever belief we may have about what is going on, and at least one person in this room has a dissenting opinion. We are all WBAI people. We are all Pacifica people, and there is a responsibility for intelligent, open discussion for what's going on. And so I am not going to be put into the position of saying, I'm here and you're not. So that's my view of what's going on. And it just because everybody else is talking, I thought I had to sort of put in my...
I've been listening as of about 5:57 this morning, and
wasn't Gene Shepherd great?
And I only heard the basically match me when he gave his sign off.
Yeah, I went straight into music.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, during that time, I have not heard what your perspective is on this issue, and certainly I have not heard what my perspective are on what is going on here at WBAI. And so, you know, you can't characterize where I am. Maybe you know what Amy's and Robert's perspectives are.
No, I am judging nothing other than by what I am hearing on the air this morning. And that is the only responsibility that, you know, I'm...
All right.
And we're not hashing backroom agendas here.
No, we're absolutely...
We each come in with our own feelings and opinions, and we're discussing this.
And in the spirit of Pacifica, and particular the spirit of WBAI, we're not the oldest in age, we're certainly the flagship station when it comes to sticking to the mission that created this institution back in a time in American history when free speech was just a figment of Clarence Thomas's and Scalia and Rehnquist's mind.
Although, of course, if you read the founding paper, it doesn't actually refer to free speech. It's right in front of you, by the way, the founding paper.
I've read the founding papers, and I know what it says. And perhaps you can read it to the listeners so they know from whence we come.
I mean,
especially when you're here in a position to talk about history. See, I don't want to talk about the glorious history of Pacifica that went back into ancient time, which I think it may be enlightening to do. Because
that is my intention.
Because during those times, as you and I do know, that the ups and downs and the changes in Pacifica was always within the family of people who were progressive and people who were on the left.
That is exactly
correct. And I think that history and that tradition continued until the reign of Pat Scott, and maybe we should tell people who Pat Scott was. And when I was told directly, and I probably still have the tape in the office, that I cannot, and we cannot criticize the Republican administration in Congress because it would jeopardize our funding. At that time, they put a budget freeze on the station. They stopped us from hiring staff. They stopped us from expanding. At that point, the past leadership of this institution said, to hell with them, to hell with their freeze, what we're going to do is that we are going to build. At that time, we went on the air and we started a building fund. That's where we raised the money to expand the studio, to build this studio and get this equipment that we're sitting in front of and behind. That's when we went on there and we began to raise funds and we did the first $1 million drive because because we were refuting those elements that were in charge of Pacifica. I traveled to Washington, D.C. and other places, and I confronted the powers that be at that time in Pacifica because I felt we need to keep to the mission.
Historical footnote.
Go ahead.
We have frequently been a financial backbone within Pacifica. When KPFT was bombed in the 70s and had to go back on the air, it was a fundraising drive, a marathon, as we used to call them, at WBAI that brought the money in for KPFT. The entire Washington entity before it was WPFW was simply the Washington Bureau.
WBAI.
100% a WBAI budget item. And as I recall, the launch of WPFW was basically a WBAI budget line item. That was my historical footnote.
Okay. So that is what I'm looking at when we talk about history and continuity. There are some people now that, as Amy had said, who are in charge of this institution that I believe bode no good for who we are and what we are and where we're going. And I'm not talking about, I am not casting any aspersion or drawing any inferences about the people in-house. Okay, absolutely none. Because I do believe that how we are going to keep the people in-house honest is to continue on the mission. I heard on this air that there will be no change in programming. And I'm not one to come on there and talk about other people or talk about myself. I'm here to do programming that serve the interests of the community. We have never screened telephone calls at this station as long as I have been here. I've never asked the caller what their name was on the air. If they choose to share it with me, they would. We don't trace people's call. We don't track their movement. I often joke that a radio station in this town, and everyone I've ever been to, they eat double locks, triple security. We were the only station that you could walk in and out of our front door 24/7 because We felt that the people that they were locking out, the community that they were guarding themselves against, were the ones who were a part of our institution.
Okay, and let me again point out that it was told to me, that as of 9 a.m. this morning, that's in an hour and 20 minutes, we're back to normal business.
That's not the case.
So I'm qualifying that by saying this is what I was told. Okay. That I was told that is a fact. What the reality is.
The important point to raise here is the direction that Pacifica is going, and how much do the five stations, the staff at the stations, and the listeners, who together make up community media and the only independent media network in this country, do we determine what direction we go in? What we have seen is that the two stations that have been under the greatest scrutiny, pressure, what many have called attacks, are the two stations that deal with the most political programming, that is KPFA and WBAI. And many people who spoke at the rally on Saturday talked about this now, and it seems to be our turn. Again, for people who are just waking up, it is 7:42. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM, the last week of the millennium. And we are in a very grave situation. Late on Friday night, management of Pacifica in Washington came to New York, installed a new general manager. All the locks were changed with locksmiths around midnight Friday night. The new general manager went on the air at 1:50 in the morning, said this is no coup, there are no SWAT teams, it is just me, and said there would not be changes in programming. Within hours, Bernard White, who is the 20-year producer at WBAI, host of the program you're listening to right now, Wake Up Call.
6-year host.
Right. Well, since the beginning, Bernard and I have done this program together, and I do hope that we're going to continue to doing it together. I do hope that this can be turned around. I think serious errors have been made. When the executive director of Pacifica came to New York, she talked about giving people who work here a living wage and making sure that the union contract is enforced. And yet, within hours of the changeover, what happened is two full-time people were summarily fired, one of them being a UE steward, and that's Sharan Harper, United Electrical. No explanations given, and now we understand a court order out against them that they are not to be near the premises or immediately arrested. That is what I was told by building security downstairs.
By the way, this just in, Utrice will be here at 8 o'clock.
And so we're taking calls at 212-209-2900. We decide together, all of us, the direction that this precious institution that is much greater than any one of us will go. We decide if it remains a community radio station or whether it serves other purposes. Now, there's nothing mysterious about serving other interests. What that is, that's what the rest of the media is, serving the agenda of the corporations that own them. And as the board of Pacifica increasingly is stacked with those that represent those interests, we can well understand what direction that will go in. And we can decide whether we want to make our board our own, representing all of us. I think any person who works at a nonprofit or is served by a nonprofit understands that the people on the board, hopefully, are there to further the mission. And this is about grassroots media. This is about giving voice to those who are not normally heard, but I think very much express the majority point of view in this country. And this is what we want to preserve, that we are fighting to preserve. Ken?
Yes. Amy, I'm trying to remember something. When the station was initially given to the public by Schweitzer.
Not public, because Pacifica is private, but
yes,
donated to Pacifica Foundation
in Berkeley.
Was there any stipulation made in his giving it how much control was to be retained by the local community?
No, there was not. Pacifica is a nonprofit educational institution. It was an outright donation, and the Pacifica principles were enough for Louis Schweitzer.
Fine. Were those principles documented in any form?
They're right over there on that sheet of paper, yeah.
Was there any stipulation in there that the board could be altered or changed without his aspect of contribution being, shall we say...
That is not outlined in the Pacifica principles. The bylaws are a separate issue, and the bylaws, of course, are something that are... what's the term you were using?
The board right now is
self-elected. And the board can change the bylaws.
Yes.
That when I was the unpaid staff representative to the local board for 2 years, there were, at that time, various board changes to the bylaws being made, which made me a little uneasy at the time, because I feel that when you're changing the bylaws, you're changing the actual structure and charter of what we stand for. I will say that through all this, all the nonsense that I have endured here over WBAI in the 33 years that I've worked here, principles of Lou Hill have not been subverted. However, the issues of how the place is to be managed, what is to be, and actually I take that back, because there was, in 1977, I dare say, we came very close to overriding that entire thing. It depends on your point
there.
Of view.
I was there at the church when they put the locks and they did the shutdown.
Well, no, if you recall, I was in charge of the security of the church
sleeping on the floor
fracas.
The whole bit.
No, I slept on the balcony, man.
You did. We did.
Oh, I'm
folks, we're going to take your calls. 212-209-2900. Again, you are listening to Wake Up Call without Bernard White, and not produced by Sharon Harper, because they were both fired on Saturday morning. And the kind of tradition that we've been talking about, this 51-year tradition, I think, when you think about listening to Bernard in the morning, that says it best. And that's why we are so deeply concerned, because Bernard embodies that tradition. So what does it say when he is summarily fired? You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
How long will the on-air protest go on? I mean, I'm getting sick of it now. I mean, change happens. You know, get used to it.
Well, it just...
I'm a little disappointed in Errol. I think give Utrecht a chance. Let's see what's happening.
Sir, I would agree with you. And Amy, let me operate the phones, please. Hold on, Errol. I don't have your mic.
Okay,
there you are.
Yeah, we have a tradition of leaving the mics on in the room.
Too. Okay, I engineer a little differently,
okay,
but I'll leave them all up now.
Okay, I hear you.
Hi.
Now, caller, I am not. Okay, and this is what folks need to carefully understand, that we have been guarding against here at WBAI, that the people who have a control of our license, the people who make
people
the decisions,
own the license.
Who owns, I've said control, I'm not going to...
Yeah, but they have the license to broadcast on the frequency, which is owned by the people, and they have the license in the public trust.
You got it. And they got this license, when we talk about Lou Schweitzer, not to have commercial on this radio station, and to continue within the tradition of Pacifica to be a free and open outlet where information and ideas can flow to and from the public.
Okay.
Now,
so,
I am talking about...
Errol, we have a call on the line.
I'm talking about the people in Washington, D.C., who have censored programs on Lumiere, who have censored program in Democracy Now!, who have taken over the station at KPFA and shut them down and rewired the transmitter so they could bring programming from the outside. I am talking about the people who are in control of the station in Houston, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles, and those stations are no longer what Pacifica was meant to be. So,
well, you see, that I would argue from a purist point of view.
Yes, you can. But when the general manager of the Los Angeles station doesn't want to hear anything about police brutality, or when in Washington they say they don't have a police brutality problems, and when in the middle of a show they will switch
to music because they think the content is not what they should be hearing. I got to stand by my position. When you have people who endorse maquiladoras on our board, when you have real estate moguls on our board, when you have people whose job it is to buy and sell and betray the community, then I think I am accurate in what I'm saying. And those are the people that we have to guard against. And if they can put you in the middle of the night, they can take you out.
Okay, now, the counterpoint to that, and
new diversity means the new diversity means that corporations are people, too, and have a right to be represented on Pacifica.
You're on the air.
The counterpoint to what Errol was saying is also that, we'll get to it later. Hi, you're on the air. I'm sorry.
Hi.
Thanks for your patience.
Hello?
Hi.
I'm calling from Long Island. My name is Evelina, and I have been trying to get the word out, and especially to Amy, that we have been talking for 2 weeks about having a meeting on Long Island for people who are concerned about these issues and can't always come into the demos and meetings there. And that meeting is going to be on Saturday, January 6th at the Cinema Arts Center. The contact number is 631-423-7611, and an email address is cinartscbtr@aol.com. And I just want to say, Errol, you were mistaken about how articulate you're not sure that you are, because I think you've spoken eloquently this morning. And many of us who love Utrice, and we've had her come out to speak, are just really concerned that we know that at other stations that where we have friends in other parts of the country, the takeover of the board by people whose politics are more right-wing has pushed the radio stations to become more right-wing. It's really not rocket science. And those of us who have contributed for years and years and years just want to remind everybody there that, with all due respect to how great you are, it is our radio station, and we want you to stay true to the mission. And if you could get word about that meeting back to Bernard, I know I have spoken with him about
it. I'm sure he's hearing this right now.
Well, okay. Thanks very much for your call.
Thanks a lot. Also, just before the next call, I remember what I was going to say earlier, and I wanted to address this to the caller as well, which was that actually when you look at Lou Hill's principles and charter, we are not technically a free speech radio station, nor are we even necessarily a left-wing one. This is the radio station when William F. Buckley began, and this is the and free speech has been more of an internal. You're more articulate, Amy. Help me. An internal mandate than one handed down by Pacifica and Lou Hill.
There is a 51-year tradition of fierce independence, and Bernard White embodies that, and I do hope that he will be sitting here again very soon. We can all decide that. Again, I think that it is a decision in process. He has been fired. Sharon Harper has been fired. There's a court order out against them if they come near the premises. I don't think this is in the tradition of Pacifica. I know this can be turned around. If you, the listeners, decide that we must embrace this diversity of voices that WBAI has come to represent, that we can make mistakes, but we can move forward and we can correct them.
A rescission of these conditions by the interim manager, who says that she welcomes the new regime of respect, that would go a long way towards demonstrating that.
And I ask that you listen to all producers and members of Pacifica, which, as Amy pointed out, is all of us at WBAI, because, of course, at BAI, you've got two people, three opinions.
And there are all sorts of websites to look at. You could look at Pacifica Management's website at pacifica.org. You can look at savepacifica.net, which lets you know the other perspectives on Pacifica.
WBAI.net.
I promised glib.com, which is R. Paul Martin's website.
And nightdrums.org, but also know that on Wednesday, there is a meeting at 6:30 at 32B, 32J in Manhattan, which is at 101 6th Avenue at 6:30. Bernard White will be there. There will be major discussions. I hope it is not the case that he would be arrested if he came to the station. That's what we've been told now over by security here at 120 Wall Street. And again, we have a memo from management that says that anybody who facilitates the entry of Bernard White, Sharan Harper, or Valerie Van Isler to the premises will be subjected to disciplinary action.
Does that include speech, do you think?
We can turn this around. Serious mistakes have been made. The important point is to focus on who controls us, the board of directors of Pacifica, and who we want representing us in the five communities that make up Pacifica. That's Washington, New York, Houston, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, Berkeley area. And then the greater affiliate community that
now,
runs
our programming.
How many
affiliates are there at this time? Yeah.
There are a number of affiliates.
I counted, I think, 50. And there, you know, again, if you go to the web, glib.com.
Well, that number is
complete. Yeah, you can see, you can go to the links. And
okay, let me point out that we have like 3 minutes and change. Do you want to take a call or do you want to take a call?
Let's take a call.
You're on the air.
Good morning, Mrs. Daniel. It seems that there were the root of all this was a change in the Pacifica board several years ago whereby the board became self-selecting. Could you please clarify that for us?
About a year ago, almost 2 years
ago. No, it was February 1999. I was there. I was threatened with arrest when they were making some of those secret deals behind. I was there in Berkeley. I flew out from New York to Berkeley to attend that meeting after being on the air the morning before. And promptly was threatened with arrest because I overheard a secret meeting of them making illegal changes and the decision to fire Nicole Sawaya.
Okay, well, when you say there's nothing illegal about such changes.
To have the meeting that they were having unannounced and unknown was a secret meeting, and under the bylaws, they have to give notice that these meetings are
actually
taken,
under the California Sunshine Law.
Let's just explain the substance of the change, because almost 2 years ago now, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that provides some funding, a minority of the funding, but was set up under Lyndon Johnson to ensure educational media as the corporations were taking over the media. The CPB told Pacifica that they were out of compliance by having the practice of, in each of the five stations, the local advisory boards elected two of their own to be representatives on the national board. CPB said we couldn't have both these people on the local advisory board and the national board, that was some kind of conflict. Now, that could have been resolved in a myriad of ways. It could have been that the local advisory board elected two people from the community to represent them on the national board. It could have been that they choose two people from the local board, and then they come off the local board and go to the national board.
Or they could sit on the local board on a non-voting matter. There's a lot of ways.
One of two of a myriad of ways of changes.
Just again, a historical footnote. The local board and its advisory nature was only created partly after, somewhat after the 1977 crisis. Before that, it was similar to the way that it is now, although there are issues of a shadow board, which did not exist earlier.
The board of Pacifica decided to go with the most radical of changes, which was simply to say that there was a vote of the national board that they would no longer be on their local advisory boards, all those representatives, and then from then on, it would be the board itself that selected its successors. Board members themselves would select who would be on the board, which totally then disconnected them, no longer made them obligated to the local communities from which the Pacifica station is.
And the mandate has always been that the local board members are supposed to be listeners from within the community. That has always been in the bylaws.
So that is what the ultimate change was. That was the change that Nicole Sawaya, who is the general manager of KPFA, protested. warning people, as we were very concerned here and people were all over the country, that we were now going to have a board that was no longer responsible to the local advisory boards, the local communities, the local stations that make up Pacifica. And the concern was that that is ripe for picking and for packing and for stacking. And that is what we are concerned about happening right now. One of the people that was put forward as a next member of the board is a member, is a vice president at Citibank.
I'm a former assistant vice president of Citibank. Thank you.
But these are the concerns in charge of private finance for Africa and the Middle East. The concerns are from that to Epstein, Becker, and Green, which has now both taken on the business of representing Pacifica and has a partner in that firm on the board, who, by the way, is rewriting the bylaws now as we speak. I went to the meeting, the national board meeting, and he talked about doing that. A law firm that is management side,
Their specialty is maintaining a union-free workplace, providing advice for worker job actions, and maintaining a management-friendly worker-contained environment.
Okay, folks, our time is nigh upon us. I should put on some music. My understanding is that at this time, our interim station manager should be here.
I would normally be doing the news. I showed up to do my job today, but I
got off because the newsroom has been locked up. And I would like to take a cut of music. It has been, in my 33 years of WBAI, this has been one of the most fascinating mornings I've spent here. Be still my heart.
Well, I look forward to just being with everyone as usual tomorrow morning, 7 to 8, as co-host of the morning program, and I look forward to seeing Bernard White here as well. I do think that it takes very big people to recognize mistakes, and I am deeply concerned at the way my colleagues as a union worker have been treated. Obviously, our two colleagues here on morning show, Sharan Harper and Bernard White, summarily fired, no explanation, Saturday morning, and now we're told they'll be arrested if they come on the premises. We hope that will turn around, and we'll continue to talk about it. Today, Democracy Now, 9 o'clock, we'll be talking about John Ashcroft, the person who George W. Bush has nominated to be the Attorney General. We'll also be talking, hopefully, make contact in Turkey with prisoners there who are in the midst of an uprising. Tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, well, I guess we'll be deciding the show as we go. So look forward to talking to you today at 9 and tomorrow morning at 7.
Thank you all, and remember, everybody you've heard in this room, we are all Pacifica Radio.